is Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Here's Anthony Medford, though, on Belichick. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. What do you got?
I'm Bill. Mike, come on. Isn't it tomorrow? Do your job. I mean, he's the greatest coach in history. What does he want to be, the greatest a-hole? Now, you know, the reporter's got a job to do. Just answer him. Not like they're a piece of gum on your shoe. I mean, really. I'm getting sick of it. But on the slow starts, Mike, of course we want to play better in the fourth than the first, but they give me a heart attack. Some of these, I just don't want to bite them in the ass, the slow starts, you know what I mean? Like Matt says, I don't want them to bite in the ass. The last time they lost the Super Bowl, the 2011 Giants 21-17, they were down 9-0 the first quarter. So enough with the slow starts. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, but yeah, the slow starts. He got all sensitive about today with Reese for no real good reason. Does that concern you? They're, you know, the Super Bowl's by quarter, okay? They're minus 15 in the first quarter.
Which isn't that bad.
Not that bad. They've only been scored 15 enough, so it seems like their defense shows up. So what? So, I don't care that they're down in the first. I think it's just a natural byproduct of something has to give, that they emphasize 60 minutes so much, and they emphasize conditioning and being fresh in the fourth quarter so much that maybe it just... Again, you can't give something without taking something away, and the consequences is that the start's a little slow, which I think is totally fine. I'm into it. Who cares who wins the first quarter? Who wins the fourth? So that they're minus 15 in the Super Bowls in the first quarter, but they're plus 33 in the fourth quarter. Perfect. No problem. I'd embrace it.
Last year was 0-0 after the first quarter.
Fine.
Do you have any recollection of that?
Not really.
It was 21-3 in the second. Atlanta scored 21 points in the second quarter.
Yeah, it started to turn when a certain running back fumbled the ball.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, who could that be? Why I missed that guy.
What's that guy?
I think we're going to be seeing him again pretty soon.
Oh, right. Yeah, blunt force trauma.
Michael in the North End on Brad Stevens and the Celtics. Go, Mike.
Yeah, listen. Brad Stevens is the problem on offense, and I can prove it. If you hear him talk a million times, he says, on offense, whoever's open shoots. He also says, we focus on defense and we let the offense take care of itself. It drives me crazy. How many times in games, it's a 2 or a 4 point swing either way, and it stays that way. They shut the other team down for 4 or 5 possessions, but they can't score, and I'll tell you why. If you remember... Great teams, you have to run the ball through your best players. When the Celtics had their best players, they would have a 2-man game, first option, Bird and McHale on one side. I mean, Bird and Parrish in the pick and roll on one side. If that don't work, you go to your second best option.
Okay, so what are you saying about this team, Mike? Get to the point.
What I'm saying about this team is they don't have – the first option should be Kyrie Irving – and the big guy on a pick and roll, Horford.
It is.
That should be their first play, okay? And if that don't work, your second option should be running your second best offensive player.
Which is who? Who's your second best offensive player?
Tatum or Brown.
I have to cut him off.
Yeah. Scorer?
Tatum.
Tatum.
Tatum. So, look, last night, I give Brad a little bit of the blame for letting... they've given Marcus Smart too much offensive rope. They've given him too much leeway, leeway to shoot the basketball when he's not a good shooter. And so Stevens has got to step in there and be, Marcus, that's not your shot. Okay, so, but also, can I just tell you another thing I just noticed? The ball sticks a lot with Kyrie.
Yep.
And it should, but there, it feels like there is a lot of just, it's Kyrie and that's it, which is fine. It's a superstar league and he's a superstar, but the ball moves less than it did last year.
See, I disagree with that. Do you think it was the same way earlier in the year?
No, it moved more.
Okay. I think the ball is sticking now because guys aren't moving as much and guys aren't playing as well. I think it's Tatum and Brown. I think it's those two. And Horford, to me, is, even when he doesn't score, Horford's not a scorer. He's just a different kind of player. He's a team offensive player, for that matter, a team defensive player. He's a system player, and that's okay. It's fine. But when no one else is scoring, where's Kyrie supposed to go? This is the problem with this team now. Like, and I say now, minus Hayward, like, if the young guys go cold, where do they go for secondary scoring? They don't have it. Like, to me, that's a problem. That's a problem. And so I think Kyrie starts to see it, and he starts to improvise a little bit more. All of a sudden, it becomes Kyrie's offense and Kyrie's game. The 40 and 33-point games for Irving are not good. It means no one else is scoring. I don't think it's a good thing. The Celtics used to kill teams doing that. They'd let Jordan get his 63 and they'd win the game. Because you didn't have anywhere else to go. If it's just Kyrie, they're going to lose.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet!
From 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think I'm going to root for the Eagles, not because I have love for you, Jake Tapper, but because because of the Pats and my Atlanta Falcons, and I don't even want to talk about the Super Bowl last year, so let's take
the Patriots are cheaters, Brooke. The Patriots cheat. I mean, this is just a fact as established by investigations. They're a cheating team. I'm sorry.
You go tell our friend John Berman that. Good luck with that.
I mean, the facts speak for themselves, but we'll let Berman tell himself whatever he wants to tell
himself. All right, Tapper.
Murray, do you know what the unfortunate byproduct is to cheating?
What's that?
Mike? People call you cheaters.
Yeah, I don't care.
That's an unfortunate byproduct.
It's an unfortunate byproduct. When you cheat, people will call you cheaters. That's just, that's the rub with that situation. So
sticks forever.
That's what happens. It sticks.
Which is why it's not worth it.
Oh, I don't know. Shortcuts are the American way.
Good job.
You're not cheating, you're not trying.
I don't believe in shortcuts, Murray. So, I have integrity.
Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat, never get caught. Oh, wait, they got caught.
A couple times. Speaking of cheers, Jeff in Fairhaven on Brad Marchand. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Nice to talk to you again.
What do you got?
I think that elbow was filthy. He definitely, it was an intentional hit, but I'd much rather have him in a black and gold than against us. And just a question. In that 11 cup run, didn't they constitute like a penalty to the NHL the way he would slam the front of his skates against the back of his opponent's skates going into a corner and knock him down? I'll let you guys answer that.
Yes, well, he's the master of the low bridge clip. Master of it. And Maz asked me before, do I feel that he's been dirty this year? And I said, a little bit. I feel like he is. Those low clips, those low dip little hits that he gets guys on. He got suspended 5 games once for clipping Sammy Salo of the Vancouver Canucks in a regular season game, not the finals. And he's gotten a couple of those over the years. I feel I've noticed it a couple times this year where Marchand is down there, and I'm like, Marchmont, you're right. Like, that's borderline. Like, and he knows it. Like, he knows he can get, because he's a little guy and he's low to the ice, and if a big guy comes to hit him, that he's got to protect himself somehow. And so there's like it's a real artful way that he does it. But I feel like he's been on that line several times this year for those low bridge hits. And the thing last night, if you missed it, folks, is not even debatable. It's not even debatable.
Well, he went up. He brought his elbow up.
It's so unnecessary, too. He's not, again, there's a like two, three minutes left. They're up a goal. They're on the penalty kill. And they've been outplayed for much of the night. Okay, Rask saves their ass, but they're about to get out of this thing with 2 points. And it's an offensive zone rush. And he takes a little shot from the faceoff circle. It's stopped and he goes in for the rebound. And so does Johansson, the Devils player. And as they come together near the goalie, he cranks Johansson in the head with his elbow. For no reason. I mean, really no reason. And when it first happened, it wasn't obvious because Johansson goes down. You're like, how'd that happen? And so was it a skate, a stick? And all the commentators, radio, TV said the same thing. And then when you saw the replay, and good for Andy Brickley on Nesson, called it immediately for what it was, a vicious elbow. And he probably wants to take it back because Nesson, I think, usually protects their guys when it comes to that sort of stuff. I felt like our broadcast on 985 The Sports Hub was protecting him because Beers, when he went through the commentary watching the replay, never really mentions the elbow when it was clear that he attacked him. He cranked him with the elbow, and it was intentional. And it was for no reason. None. And he's been suspended so far 7 times in his NHL career, or disciplined 7 times. And this, I think, is going to be 8. He should be suspended.
I mean, we should know by the time we get off the air, right?
I think so. He's having a phone hearing, which means it won't be more than 5 games, but it's got to be something. Again, just his history. And what's amazing is that he's been so good this year. So good. MVP candidate. And again, I'll just say, we're not Celtics fans, so we don't chant MVP at the kid, because you don't chant MVP when someone's going to finish 6th. I'm just telling you, he's going to be in the top 10, or he's having that kind of season. If there was a Hart vote right now, an MVP vote right now, he'd be in the top 10, maybe the top 5. Maybe. So he's having that kind of season. he so doesn't need to do that crap anymore, and he can't help himself. Like I mentioned before, it's like that Duke basketball player, Grayson Allen, who like has some sort of chemical imbalance where he can't help but stick his foot out. Like this weird sort of psychosis. And I think Marchand might have something similar. He couldn't get through last year with a couple games to go, and they're fighting for the playoff lives. He spears a guy in the groin. Remember that one? And misses two games down the stretch. I mean, that could have cost him the playoffs. He just can't help himself. And now this thing last night, totally unnecessary.
See, what I find frustrating is that, you know, early in his career, I half got it. He's a guy who's, you know...
Yes, he had to be the rat to get into the league and fight for and all of that. I get it.
Living on the edge.
Now he's a star.
Oh, he is an absolute star. Like, I told you, I never imagined he'd be this good. Ever. What did he score last year? 37 goals?
He was sniffing 40, yeah.
I mean, and the year before was the same. It's 2 years in a row, and he got a new contract in the middle of it. Like, there's been no backing off whatsoever in terms of the productivity, and now he's on pace for the same kind of thing. So, look, and when the play happened, I think Jack Edwards said initially, boy, you wonder if some... He kind of went, you know, he jumped up. He didn't. Edwards didn't see the elbow. As you said, a lot of people didn't.
No, but on the replay, they all did.
Right, but in the real time, you wondered if, you know, in falling forward, escape blade came up and hit somebody. But there's no doubt he jumps up. I mean, he jumps up with his elbow and hits a guy in the head. Like, I don't even know how you defend it.
That's like, what? Why, dude? Why?
Wouldn't surprise me if he got 3 games for this at least.
Okay, so we'll find out. We'll find out with Marchand here later on today. We've got Stephen Carver on the Cavs. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I don't know. Have you guys been following this Kevin Love saga?
Yes.
Yeah, Cavs. So, listen, man, this is just a quick recap. On Saturday, he left the game early because of an illness, and a lot of the Cavs players went and had a meeting where they aired their grievances with Kevin Love, and I think a lot of players would handle that poorly, but Love said it's okay. The problem is that it leaked to the media. And I don't know if you guys remember in the book of Isaiah, but immediately after he was traded, he was on the phone with Adrian Wojnarowski. And the initial reports, the only reporter that had the story about the meeting, which really got Kevin Love upset that it was the fact that it leaked, was Adrian Wojnarowski. And since the Cavs have had Isaiah return, they're 2-9. They're playing terrible. Their defense is terrible. They've had a couple in-house meetings. They don't know if their coach is going to get fired. Yeah.
I mean... Isaiah could be the leak. Was he talking to Woj in one of those cuts in the Book of Isaiah thing? I don't remember that.
I can't speak to that. I didn't watch any of these videos.
But let's say Isaiah, stuff has been leaking about the Cavs for years.
Look,
we know everything that's going on there. We knew Kyrie asked for a trade. We knew that they had problems with Blatt. They knew the problems with Love were last year. Like, we've known everything about that mess for years.
Yeah, LeBron has loose lips, too. Let's not kid anybody about that.
I mean, I want this story right in my veins. All of this NBA bitchiness over the last, like, 72 hours has been amazing. But this one specifically, that Kevin Love had to get in front of his teammates and basically say, guys, I was really sick. I was really sick. They hate Kevin Love. Because earlier this season, Derrick Rose, who's washed up at this point, like disappears, goes on a sabbatical for like 25, 30 games so he can get his head right, figure out if he still wants to play. Everyone's cool with it. You didn't hear anybody bitch, specifically LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Kevin Love taps out of a game and he's sick and he doesn't show to a practice and it's ready to be mutiny because they hate him. They hate Kevin Love. I think they hate all of it.
ESPN has just been showing a clip where Kevin Love hit the deck last night.
No one helped him.
No one went up to help him up to the point where LeBron basically stepped over him.
LeBron walked right by him.
Basically stepped over him. It's really bad there.
See, I think Isaiah is a big part of the problem. I do. Love's numbers have gone down since Isaiah came back. Isaiah needs the ball in his hands. He's a bad match with LeBron. It's a bad match because they both want the ball all the time.
Sean and Clinton on Belichick. Go ahead, Sean.
Do you know who picked Brady? And if it was Bill, shouldn't Brady feel some allegiance to this guy considering he was picked 199 and may never have been picked?
I don't feel Brady feels that way. I think Brady feels he's self-made, and everyone made a mistake. I bet, if anything, he blames him for passing on him so many times before he got to me. What took you so long to draft me? You know, I think that's Brady's been – that's just been his – Brady doesn't look at the Patriots and say, oh, thank you for picking me. He looks at the Patriots and everybody else saying, why'd you take all those jamokes over me in the first place?
Huh.
I mean, that's just his competitive – that's just – and I think that's helped him over his career. It fuels him.
Oh, it's totally who he is. But, again, what's that story about running into Kraft and I'm going to be the best decision you ever made because everyone else was stupid?
What I find interesting, and again, my new developing speculation and opinion, is that Bill might be looking for more money from the Patriots, or if he's in a good position, if he is. Florio keeps writing about his salary out of nowhere, even though he's years left on his contract. But now Bill has him by the balls. There's no one to take over because all the coordinators just left. There's no quarterback to take over, so someone's got to pick the next one and start developing them, which is a massively important job. Massive. And someone has to retool the roster. It's a little depleted in terms of young talent because they've lost draft picks over the last couple of years because of what Jake Tapper said.
Okay, but that's Bill's fault.
It sure is. I'm just telling you. There's no first or second round pick on this roster from the last two drafts. That's a big hole. So you need someone to restock the roster at the draft. You need someone to, most importantly, find the next quarterback and start developing them. You need two new coordinators, maybe a new personnel head. If Bill walked away, they are so porked, it's not even funny.
Tell you what, it's a great leverage play, though.
And I'm telling you, for a team that always has leverage, Robert just lost his when it comes to his quarterback and his coach. Previously, if he's negotiating with Bill or Brady, not that he would want them to walk away or anything, but in terms of just a negotiating leverage point, well, Bill, I'm not going to pay you $30 million a year because I'll give the job to Josh and it won't be as good, but at least I have that. And if Brady got stupid, it'd be like, well, listen, you know, we need you making X percent of the salary cap. If you're not going to agree to that, then we will go to the next guy. You had that leverage point. Now, Brady can ask for whatever he wants and they have to give it to him, and Bill's in the same spot. They have no, the Crafts have no leverage with these two guys.
Well, look, you know what that all stems from. You traded the guy you shouldn't have traded, but that aside, okay, because you know how I feel about it. Let's let that one go. So if you're Bill, like in terms of leverage plays, I can't franchise Garoppolo, huh? That would cost us how much? 20-something million? Huh, okay, no problem. I want double what I'm making now, which is about $25 million. You're going to have to pay me $25 million to stay. You're spending it one way or the other, pal.
You can't complain about the cap because coaches' salaries aren't on the cap. So,
I mean,
so you don't even get to use that bullcrap excuse.
I mean, if that's what it is, like, I told you, I think the worst case scenario is that after this whole thing, Belichick says, I'm done. Then they're up the creek.
So he's got him. He's got him. If that's what's going on, and you never know with these things. Here's Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like football, and I like the Patriots and all of that.
Hold on, I'm not done.
This is Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, what's up, man? Listen, first of all, Alan Branch, he's not going to play or what, man? And he's been out for a little while, man, you know what I mean?
He has, and they haven't missed him, which is odd, because I think he's sucked all year.
Yeah, he's
Let's
been
just
bad
be
all year.
He's been useless.
He's been pretty good. I mean, he's been okay. He had a little stretch there in the middle of the season that he was pretty good. He was pretty dominant. I mean, for me, I mean, I remember they said that an ESPN article that said there was a Patriot player that was, you know, the info of the league. Honestly, I think it's Alan Branch. I mean, Alan Branch, like, you know, with the way I see it, it looks like he's beat to his own drum. And he
Patriots player that informed the league of what? What are you talking about?
No, an interview with the article that was a couple of weeks ago about Brady and
Seth Wickersham.
Belichick. Yeah, exactly. That article that he said that he had.
Yeah, it was Dwayne Allen.
Hold on. Stop. Everybody stop. What the hell are you all talking about?
He's referring to the Brady Belichick Seth Wickersham story,
okay.
And I just said that Dwayne Allen was a snitch.
How do you know?
I get people in Foxborough.
Wow, Jimmy coming out of left field.
So, like,
with that one.
Again, because forgive me, because I'm stupid. Were there specific players mentioned?
No, no one was ever there.
There were anonymous player sources.
But I don't ever remember said one player. I don't ever remember Wickersham quoting a player. Did he?
And some of the stuff in there, I can't imagine that Dwayne Allen would even know is going on.
No, it's just referred to as a source. There was never, I don't think I ever read the words, said a player.
Yeah, right.
Like that.
Dwayne Allen.
But either way, that's the guy, Dwayne Allen.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Alan Branch, they've survived. I thought, last year, one of the most important players on your team. This year, I thought they'd miss him. They really haven't.
Yeah, you have the likes of Ricky Jean Francois making plays. They haven't missed him all that much.
And Malcolm Butler. Or Malcolm Brown.
Malcolm Brown.
Been huge inside. So
no, Butler kind of sucks.
Malcolm Butler sucks. Malcolm Brown, been good. Rich and Sturbridge on the Celts. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I think Brad Stevens should take a little bit of flack for this latest swoon, don't you?
Yes, well, just the last play last night in Marcus Smart's.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, aren't they one of the league's most prolific three-point teams?
Yep.
They don't even really have that many shooters, legitimate shooters.
At least it's better than last year.
Yeah, but I mean, they're a team of slashers. They've got some great slashers, not a lot of jump shooters, and it seems that they're even jacking them up earlier in the shot clock now. Now, I agree with Maz. I think that Brown and Tatum are kind of the problems, and it could be fatigue. I don't know.
Okay, let me just piggyback another. Pete in Delaware, your thoughts on the Celtics?
Hey, guys. Hey, the I agree with Maz. I mean, in January, the Celtics are dead last in scoring, and it's no coincidence that Tatum and Brown, collectively, their three-point percentages, Tatum's down to 39% from 50, and Brown's at 25% from 40. So, I mean, there you go. Those kids were knocking them down. Now they're not, and the whole spacing thing with Brad's offense, you know, they're not knocking them down. This is what's going to happen.
What do you think, Mass?
They're both under 30% in like the last dozen games or something like that. So, look, to me, that's what the problem is. But I am also going to be consistent. I don't give Stevens all that much credit for when things are going well because I think it's about the players. And so I'm not going to sit here and give him a ton of blame because I think that it's about Tatum and Brown. So, look, Stevens is a good coach. He is. We all know it. He can't change what's happening on the floor right now. If those guys don't shoot, they're screwed.
The Marcus Smart thing's interesting, though. They've given him a lot of leeway, a lot of freedom to shoot, a lot of freedom, and they created a monster. So they're partly to blame for Marcus Smart feeling like he's the one that should take that shot last night?
Yes. Yes. And in fact, the more I sort of sniff around about that play, and the more I think about it, and the more I watch it, Smart screwed it up. He did. From what I understand, in that sort of situation, again, 5.7 seconds to go, there is an understood, you know, quote-unquote designed play that you run if you get the rebound. There's a play in place there if you get the rebound off a missed free throw. You get it, you outlet, and then what happens, happens. Now, I can't give you what the exact play is, but there's a play there. Often, because of the pressure in the situation, it can break down. In this case, Smart broke it down from the very beginning. Once you get the rebound, you pass that ball out of there.
We'll play the sound coming up. Brad Stevens was on Beadle and Zoe earlier on today and was asked how he felt about Marcus Smart's shot selection there. And we'll play the sound again. You tell me if Brad Stevens actually endorsed it.
I think the play was Smart rebound, outlet to Rozier, and Kyrie Irving would have been on the far end of your television screen. He's supposed to cut to the lower part of your television screen and get either a layup or he's going to get a shot in the corner to win the game.
Well, and the other thing is they only needed a two. If you pass the ball out to Rozier, you even open up the possibility of Rozier going to the basket. Like, they didn't need the three.
Again, listen to Stevens coming up, and you tell me. You tell me how he felt about the play. Jim and Weymouth, quickly.
Hey, so you guys are being really hard on Jaylen and Jason Tatum, right? And, you know, they are. They're shooting like crap. But the Celtics overall are just out of sync. And I'm sorry, but watching these games, I look to Horford every bit as much, if not more, than the other young guys. I mean, you have to at some point understand that guy, Jason, is 19 years old. We saw games where Horford couldn't establish position in the post against a guard guarding him that's half his size, and he passes out of the paint when he's got wide open things. That leads to people being out of sync as well.
I'm going to stop you there. Murray, you co-sign.
He's been one of the main issues here in this four-game swoon. And look at the numbers in the paint against Orlando, who sucks on Sunday. And he finishes, you know, nine points and five rebounds. He's getting eaten alive. Same thing last night with Julius Randle. He's been a liability. He's been the magician. I tweeted it last night. I hate to say it, Al, but I'm about to get the magic hat and the wand again because you're disappearing.
Poof. He's right, though. In the last two games, you realize the opponents have scored like 120 points in the paint? Holy crap. I mean, you and I can make those shots.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal to your ears.
Blood force drum!
We're going to run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Maz. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Caldwell Pope, second free throw. That's going to bounce out. Rebound Smart. 5 seconds to go. Smart races into the front court. Smart, step back. He's going to take a three. It bounces out, and the Lakers win the ball game. Marcus Smart races it up the floor. He's had a good night shooting the basketball and had a pretty good look. But obviously, the Celtics did not need a three after the missed free throw.
No, you take anything you can get then at that point.
It hit the left iron, then kissed off the glass, the front iron, and out. And the Boston Celtics, who managed to go the entire season without losing three in a row, have now lost four straight. The final score, L.A. 108, Boston 107.
In case you missed it, and you probably did, and if you're watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast right now, you're seeing it. 5.7 seconds left. Caldwell Pope at the line for the Lakers. 5.7 seconds left. Lakers up one. He misses both. Okay, Celts have already used all their timeouts. They've used two timeouts inside of the 2 minutes, so they can't call another one. Marcus Smart gets the rebound. He's got Rozier wide open coming down his right wing. He's got Jason Tatum showing near the top of the key on his left side, wide open. And Kyrie's sort of coming from the back corner, not really in it, but still on the floor.
Rozier's open.
So you've got Rozier, a better shooter. You've got Tatum, definitely a better shooter. And you've got Kyrie, the man. And Marcus Smart just hogs the ball all the way up the floor and chucks a three and they lose. They're down one.
Yeah.
5.7 seconds, plenty of time to get it into the front court. They can't call timeout, but to get it into the front court and get a better shot. And instead, Marcus Smart hucks that thing up and they lose. So that's what happened last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. Losing to the LA Lakers, that's like a 4-point loss if you're worried about that draft pick. Because if the Lakers fall in the 2-5 draft pick, you get that pick. If they fall outside of the top five, that punts to next year, and who knows where it's going to end up. Because there's a couple different permutations there. The Lakers now sit in that 8-9 lottery position. So it's been close. It's been close all year with the Lakers in terms of, are they in the top five or just out of it? It's within a couple games. It has been all year. If they miss that top five lottery position by a game, that's a game you can point to last night as helping cost you that draft pick. So that's an important result last night.
Big loss.
Brad Stevens on the midday show here with Beal and Zolak asked about, and I don't remember exactly how it was phrased, but basically, did you like Marcus Smart's shot attempt there? Did you like that decision to go up with the ball? Here's what he said.
With 5.7 seconds left on a missed free throw, what we always say is you get a dribble per second. So there's time for the right pass, a pass that leads to somebody else's ability to drive the ball or an open shot. And with the pressure that was up the floor and the way that they were playing Marcus, he felt that, he could get to a spot and get it off. Obviously, we had other action, other people going around him, but at the same time, that's not an easy position to be in, especially with that amount of time. To have a chance to win that game with a fairly clean look, we'd want a layup, we'd want a wide open shot, but those are hard to get at that time.
At what point does he say it was a good shot?
He doesn't. And in fact, very tactfully, he denounces the fact that Smart dribbled up the floor. I mean, he says a second per dribble, implying you can get the ball up the floor a hell of a lot faster with a pass. And we had other people in motion on the play.
There were other players in action.
Yeah, in action, right, is what he said. So, to me, the right play is rebound, pass to Rozier.
So, first of all, he says 5.7 seconds left, so there's time for the right pass for an open shot or a layup.
Correct.
So, he says there's time to do more than he did. We had other players in action. You obviously want an open shot or a layup. I mean, all he says there is that it's a difficult situation, and Marcus felt he could do this, Marcus felt that. At no point does he say he did the right thing.
Correct. So again, just look at the four players involved in the play, right? Kyrie's up deep on the left side, Tatum's on the left wing, Rozier's on the right wing a little further ahead, and then there's Smart with the ball. Who's the worst shooter? Who's the worst scorer in that group?
Marcus.
How does nobody else touch the ball?
Well, because he had 22, and I'm going to win this and get all this love tonight.
So I'm telling you, the more I think about it, I think the whole thing was drawn up. I think that I'm sure they practice it. Again, because these are precisely the type of situations you practice for. Hey, if we don't have a lot of time, no timeouts, here's the kind of thing we're looking to do. If you get the rebound, outlet goes to Rozier, he's got the ball in the wing, now he assesses. Can I get to the basket? Can I pull up and shoot? Or coming down on my left side will be Tatum who can shoot, or Kyrie's coming out of the corner, swinging around, you can pass to him and he can shoot. You got to make that call on the fly. It's not easy, but that's your play. Then at least in that situation, you have three guys involved in the play who can all score.
You don't think the play that they drew up was Marcus chucking a three?
No way, not in a million years.
Dribbling up the length of the floor and chucking a three?
No, not with a one-point game. It's so unnecessary. And I can't be the only one that was MFing my TV at that time of the night, too, because you knew it was coming. Right as that time he got to half court. Oh, he's really going to do this, isn't he? He's really going to... And yep, there it goes. And clang. When he has Rozier on the right wing, wide open, where Rozier could then make a pass or assess, like you said, Maz, or get closer and take a two.
The big mistake is dribbling the ball out of the backcourt. Once he puts the ball on the floor, tick, 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 here it goes. It's going faster. Pass the ball out. Pass it out.
Okay, back to your phone. Steven Taunton, your thoughts.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, there should be a new law implemented in the Celtics playbook in the final 10 seconds. Only Kyrie touches that ball.
I agree.
It's prohibitive from shooting anything in 10 seconds. That was just totally ridiculous. First of all, guys, you remember Rozier when he stole that ball at half court and went all the way for the layup? He was there in 2 seconds. So Rozier should have had that ball. And even, I would probably say, Rozier, if he had the shot, shoot the ball.
We don't need to make it that complicated. Kyrie should be in the backcourt getting the ball and bringing it up himself, and he assesses.
He should.
That's why you have that guy. Okay, if it's a side out at midcourt, or you get into the front court and Stevens draws something up to get an open look for someone else, then fine. But in a play like that, no. Don't overcomplicate it. Kyrie gets the ball. He brings it up. He decides. Darnell in Roxbury on Bill Belichick. Go ahead, Darnell.
All right. First time, long time, guys. But I'm going to say that I do believe that Belichick is going to ask for the world, and he's going to get it. Because, you know, all the coordinators are gone, and your future quarterback is not on this team. But my thing is, I think that Gronk is out of here. If anything, we've gotten what we need out of him. So why not use Gronk and get a high first-round draft pick or just something?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because he
not...
hasn't played a... Go ahead.
He's pretty good, Darnell. I mean, why... He's pretty good, and he stayed healthy. So why would you move on from him now?
Well, my thing is like I said, we got what we needed from him, and he hasn't played a playoff game in I don't know how long. And look at him. He's a behemoth. You know, he catches everything, you know, in his range. But you got to whack him just to tackle him. Therefore, he's going to be injured almost every year.
Okay, so here's my developed opinion today is that it feels like Bill might be angling for a contract too. And again, I just base it off the Pro Football Talk stuff where they keep writing about his salary, like out of nowhere. And then I just sort of think it through. And it's like, well, we've talked a ton about the Belichick, Brady, and Kraft, and
Garoppolo.
What does it usually come down to? Money or women? I don't want to think it's women in this case, but what if we're in a spot where, you know, where Brady was upset about his contract, and now Bill's in the same spot, and Robert wants to make it all whole? Robert has to make it all good? And mend fences and all this? Well, how do you do that?
You pay someone more than you were before.
Take care of them. Take care of these guys.
Okay, so can we add one more thing to the money women thing? Because I generally... Power's another one.
Power, sure.
Money and power sort of go hand in hand, right? Like, so if you're going to take away Belichick's power to keep Garoppolo, it's going to cost you. I just see an unbelievable bit of irony there that you wouldn't spend the money to keep the backup quarterback, but you'll end up having to pay out the nose to keep the coach. What's the difference?
So look, I mean, here it is. You've lost your leverage, and you've declared your plan. You're not going to transition to another coach. You're not going to transition to another quarterback. You're going to ride this to the bitter end because your coordinators are gone and your next quarterback's gone. So take care of them and go all in and make them happy. Money can make people happy. Take care of them with the contracts and... Here we go. Brady's going to get one. Bill's going to get one. And why do I keep reading about Bill being grossly underpaid by Mike Florio? I wonder. Florio got his start. If people have been following Mike Florio as long as I have.
He's a lawyer, right?
Who I love. Well, he was a lawyer, and he was good with some of the agents. He was friendly with some of the agents. So he was one of the first online gossip mongers. It didn't used to be Pro Football Talk. It was NFL Talk. It was NFLTalk.com. Do you remember those days?
I do, yeah.
And he had to change it because of copywriting and the NFL name and blah, blah, blah. He turned it into Pro Football Talk, and then he got, you know, bought by NBC, and now he's like back. Now he's like in the mainstream. But he was like on the fringe, but he was an agent guy. Agent. And so he'd get all these rumors from agents, and a lot of them were contract related and whatnot. And I'm reading his stuff that he's been writing about Bill. And it reads like some of his old stuff that he would get from agents.
Okay, so the specific comparison that was made yesterday in that thing, or the day before, whenever it was would you rather, who's worth more, Derek Carr, $25 million a year, or Bill Belichick?
Isn't that sound like something an agent would say?
Sure, but what if Belichick's actually angling for $25 million a year?
I don't know. All I know is, these are the guys. You're not, you know, these are the guys. So, Brady's here, you're going to pay him. Bill, you got to sort of make whole because of what just happened. He's the one that lost out. He's the one that's bent out of shape. And oh, by the way, if he leaves, you are royally porked. Porked with a capital P. And he knows it. He's got him. So I just wonder if all this is going on behind the scenes.
So where's the line? At what point is Bill overpaid?
Huh.
This is what I'm getting at with the, you know, again, because my brain's completely stuck on Garoppolo.
He should be the highest paid coach in pro sports by...
Like 20 million.
No. I was going to by at least 10%, you know, by at least 25%. I mean, I don't know. Like that has to be the line.
Well, Gruden just got what, 10 million a year?
Gruden just signed. So this plays in a brilliant point. Gruden just signed 10 years, 100 million. Right?
Well, it is 10 years, 100 million. I don't know if it's fully guaranteed.
So I don't know how much is fully guaranteed, but so there's that. The market just goes up. I wonder, you know, I just wonder if that's what's going on. And now they need Bill to stay. They need him to stay. They need him to find the next quarterback. They need him to start grooming the next wave of coaches. Otherwise, they have no transition plan, and they're standing there with their Schmenzer in their hand and a 41-year-old quarterback and nothing else. And a brilliant 41-year-old quarterback. But no, and this is a team that always thinks long, always plans long.
I just think that $25 million is an interesting number to for Florio to throw out there. What's that, random? He picks Derek Carr randomly, $25 million a year? And again, if
who's Derek Carr play for?
Gruden.
I don't know.
Yeah, look, I just find that an interesting number. Like, that's the number you pick. He didn't pick 15. He didn't pick 18. He didn't pick 20. $25 million a year? So I just wonder, at what point do the Kraft say, we're not paying you that? And look, I don't know if there's a battle brewing or not. Okay, I have no clue. But I do believe that Bill's pissed about Garoppolo. I do believe that he would leverage that into a new contract. And I just wonder at what point the number gets to a stage where the Kraft's going, we can't do that. Per me, I'd give it to him. I think he's got him over a barrel.
25 mil.
Yep. I mean, see, what I find...
He's worth it.
So what I find ironic about that is, so it's not about paying the money out, because you'll pay it to Bill, but you wouldn't pay it to keep Garoppolo. Like, that's what the salary cap hit would have been.
Well, no, but...
With the real cash.
No. But you're paying someone to sit on the sidelines and not do anything. At least you're paying Bill to do something.
No, you're paying someone to embrace your future, to take care of your future.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.